Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
I'm not going to gatekeep all the quote unquote industry secrets about how to do things. And you only get to figure this out once you're in it. And then when you're in it, it's too late. I'm here to kind of unravel this matrix for you. So I can tell you from someone who has been inside for many, many years, this is what your contract should look like.
Today's guest is Shanta Inshika, and her story is not a straight line. It's something far more interesting. Over more than two decades in global publishing, she moved across sales, distribution, and operations in ways that most people never get to see from the inside. And now she's taken all of that and built something of her own. In this episode, Shanta talks about what it really means to build a career through reputation rather than resume, why she kept getting tapped for roles she never applied for, and what finally pulled her away from corporate life to start her own advisory firm. She also shares what she's learning in these early months of running her own business and why she believes the most valuable thing she can offer is something the industry has long kept to itself. Now let's welcome Shanta Inshika. With more than 25 years of experience in global publishing, Shanta has built a career leading international sales, marketing, distribution, and strategic growth initiatives for major publishing organizations. She has held senior leadership roles at companies including Penguin, Bloomsbury Publishing, Baker & Taylor, and Columbia Business School Executive Education. Drawing on decades of corporate leadership, relationship building, and market expansion expertise, she now advises publishers and authors through Inshika Global, helping clients navigate growth, partnerships, and industry strategy with practical insight and a global perspective. Shanta, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you on. Tell me a little bit about your career journey and what brought you to where you are today.
Well, my career journey in publishing has not been linear. It was, as I call, a series of fortunate events that I didn't actually have on my radar. So after leaving college, I decided that I wanted to maybe try a couple of different things, maybe social services, not quite sure what industry I wanted to land on. And then I decided to one day go for an editorial position as an editorial assistant at a small publisher. And the thing about it is in publishing, we always think about, you know, editorial process. You want to be an editor. You want to help get books published. I had no idea that sales even existed. So I went out for this editorial assistant job in the late 1990s, which was a very long time ago. Publishing has changed so much since then.
Yeah, sure has.
But the amazing thing about that, David, was I went in for this interview in my 20s, you know, bright-eyed, bushy-tail, and I said, I want to be an editorial assistant. I want to, you know, edit books and, you know, help the whole process. And I was about halfway through the interview with this woman, and she said, I want to stop you right there because you're not an editor. And I said, well, what do you mean I'm not an editor? I want to be an editor. I want to learn. I want to be an assistant and grow. And she's like, no, you're a salesperson. You are a salesperson. So she saw something in me that I didn't even know existed in publishing. So I thought, well, what is sales and publishing? Do you go door to door? Do you sell books? I had no idea about the process past editorial. And so she said, I'm going to make you a sales assistant and you're going to learn the sales process. So that sparked something in me to, number one, learn about another area of publishing that I didn't know about, and also something about myself, because I never thought about myself as a salesperson. I just thought, I love books. I want to help the publishing process. I want to be a part of that in some way. So that was the launching pad for a series of positions within publishing, all geared towards sales. And so once I took that leap, I said, this is interesting, because I was client facing. Editors have wonderful jobs and an important role to play, but I didn't want to be redlining or copy editing or anything like that. I like to talk to people. And so when I realized that the sales portion was the key to getting the books to the end consumer, because you had to actually sell the product, I said, this is for me. This is what I meant to, what to be doing. So after doing that for a couple of years, I had a couple of sales assistant positions at small publishers. And then I've decided this is where I want to be. And my trajectory has always been through key relationships. So I never really applied for said job and got the job. It was also someone who said, I think you would be great at this. I think that this would fit for you. And so after that position, I said, I want to move on to the next thing and the next thing. And so I got a call from a friend who said, hey, you know, have you ever thought about international sales? And I said, no, never had an idea. I think I had just had my passport for like maybe 2 years. And I said, what is that? And she said, a friend of mine is head of international sales at this publisher, and he's looking for a sales assistant. And she said, you'll get to travel. You'll get to deal with accounts throughout the world, Europe, Asia, Latin America, Africa. And it's not just domestic. So you'll get to do more. You'll get to see more. You'll get a different perspective on publishing as a whole. And so I wanted to take, again, a risk at something different, still being within sales. And I took that position. And so ever since then, I have been in the international sales, global publishing realm over many, many years, decades, and just grown over that. I came to love it because international markets really challenge you. You get to learn about how things sell in different markets based on outside factors. So the domestic market is kind of monolithic, right? If you can think about it like that. But let's say you're selling in an Asian market or a Latin American market or a European market, you have to know what's happening there in order to be able to translate that into something that's going to be sellable. So there was a time when I was at Penguin and I was selling in maybe 4 or 5 different regions throughout the world, traveling there, being the so-called boots on the ground in terms of direct sales and also managing teams. So I got a 360 kind of view of what global sales and publishing was about firsthand. And that was a very unique opportunity for someone like me who had just kind of entered the industry. And so progressing through that, I figured, again, I wanted to stay in that realm. And so after that company, I went to another publisher where I was more so on the senior leadership side, where I managed teams throughout the world. So I was responsible for commissioned sales reps as well as regional sales reps. And I had that experience of living their life as boots on the ground and selling direct to these markets and retailers and wholesalers. So I was able to give them the kind of guidance that I had in terms of being their boss, if you will, and managing them from a distance. So after doing that, here I am again, another sales position. And I think the pivotal point going from sales to distribution was when I started to work at Baker & Taylor. And again, another through line in my career is someone tapped me and said, hey, this is something that's happening. I want you to be a part of it. A newly created role at Baker & Taylor in the international sales division to be head of international sales along with the co-founder and take on the distribution model there, which Baker & Taylor didn't have at the time. So now I'm adding distribution operations as well as international sales to my resume. Again, giving me another perspective on how to deal directly with publishing clients and getting them ready to sell in international markets where they never had a footprint before. And so again, another opportunity that increased my experience as well as what I knew in sales and adding distribution and operations to that. And then as publishing does, the atmosphere changed again. There was some downsizing and change in the markets and mergers and acquisitions. And I figured it was about 2023. I said, maybe publishing, I need to try something different, another kind of pivot. So I left the industry. Totally. And went into Columbia Business School and working in executive education, whereby I was one of the senior directors that sold leadership programs and curated leadership programs along with faculty for Fortune 500 companies, white shoe law firms and such. And it was another great experience because I got to see the perspective of the faculty that actually goes inside and develops these programs where they bring in corporate leaders to train them on leadership skills, negotiation and persuasion, things like that. So I was kind of on the L&D side from within the university and the business school. But something kept drawing me back to publishing. So as I was talking to these professors, you know, sitting down with them saying, okay, we have to, you know, kind of curate this 5-day program. And they would always say, Shanta, you worked in publishing, right? And I say, yeah. Well, I have this book because everybody has a book. And I need to know.
Especially professors.
Oh, a lot of professors. And, you know, some of their books, of course, focused on, you know, their academic, you know, specialty area of interest. But what I learned was that they had the material, they had the manuscript, they had, you know, the research, but they wanted to know about the business of publishing. Should I get an agent? do I get the copy editor first, especially if they had never been published in the trade before? A lot of them have been published in scholarly works and things like that. But there was always questions coming back to me about publishing because I was willing to talk about it. I knew it. I lived it for over 20 years. So again, publishing kept coming back. And so I said, okay, I can talk to you about how to do this and how to do that. And that was fine. And then an opportunity again came about to return to publishing. And so I said, this is great, but it's just not publishing proper. It's not publishing where I want to be. So I had the opportunity to return and go to a distribution company where I was going to working with sales and distribution within publishing proper. So everything kind of, all the roads kind of led back to where I started 25 years ago. And that's how I kind of knew this is where I was supposed to be.
Yeah. Shanta, what do you think it is about you that enables you or maybe triggers these opportunities where you're getting tapped and asked to consider taking on a role, which, you know, most people would long to be in that position where they get asked to do something as opposed to always banging on doors and having a hard time getting in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. So there were times where I was banging on doors trying to get in. And when those positions didn't work out for whatever reason, this other opportunity always came in. And sometimes I did ask the person, well, why me? Why did you want to, you know, call on me to be the startup person for this or create this new role? And it was always, well, we heard about your experience. We talked to someone else and they recommended you. So I think as you go along in your career, not just in publishing, your reputation really does precede you. And so when you do something and you do it well, people notice and they take note. And so that kind of stays in their mind. And I've done that with other people that I've hired and worked with. I said, you know, maybe I can't work with this person right now, but later on down the line, she or he would be great for this role, or not for me, or someone else would recommend. So I've always been fortunate with that in terms of other people saying, well, you know what, Shanta, I think you would be good for this. And in terms of being a starter-upper, I guess, I don't know. I guess that's just something about me. I'm the oldest of five. And so I've always been kind of like
used to being in charge.
Oh, yes. I am kind of used to being in charge. So, you know, I guess when people think about we want to start something new, but we want someone who's going to be focused, organized, someone, of course, knowledgeable and ready to talk about these four or five pillars that we need to start this business. Sometimes I have become top of mind. And I welcome that kind of challenge because it does kind of drive you to do more and think broadly and think about new principles and things like that. New strategy. I love strategy. So when I came into those roles, I didn't think of it as, oh gosh, how am I going to prove myself? How am I going to do this? I thought about, wow, this is going to be a great challenge. I'm ready for it. And all, again, if it ties back to publishing and sales, I can figure it out. And so it's something that I know that I will be able to do, of course, along with the right infrastructure. So I think that's probably why I've got tapped for these key roles.
Right. And now you're doing this, all of this in your own business.
Yeah, this has led me to Inshika Global, which I just kind of, I guess, officially launched a couple of months ago, just starting this year.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what do you notice might be different running your own business versus having these various leadership roles in other organizations?
Well, as scary as it is, what I like about this so far, and it's been a kind of a short window, is that there are a couple of things. First of all, you don't have the kind of angst or anxiety of what's going to happen next. Because in publishing, as well as like I mentioned in other industries, you never know when you may be on the chopping block or when something is going to change. You're going to be snatched out of that role and then you're going to be disoriented and you kind of put out of your place for a while. And that's happened to me a couple of times. So when I decided to leave, I thought, okay, this is something scary, but scary means just something new. But I can let go of that kind of fear of worry about, well, I'm not going to fire myself. This is my business. So I'm going to put everything I can into it. And then I won't have that matrix and that hierarchy and that infrastructure above me saying, well, we're going to take this initiative. We're not going to go this way. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Whether or not I agree with it or not, you're following your own rules. And so when I decided to start this, I thought about what my mission and my vision was going to be. And I realized that if I was in corporate America, I wouldn't be able to set those standards. I could set them internally for me and say, okay, I want to do this personally because I want this to be a gold star on my resume, on my CV. but it wasn't something that may have aligned with the company that I was working for. So now that I'm doing this, I don't have to kind of worry about or think about that. Actually, it's fuel for me to say, okay, if this is my mission, my vision, this is how I'm going to go. This is my trajectory. No one can stop me. I'm working for my clients. And because I've been doing this for so long, I know how to, as I've been calling it, unravel the matrix. I was talking to a potential client the other day, and she said, I just want to know how I should do this. There's so much I don't know about this industry. I just know how to publish books. I need to know distribution models, sales models, operations models. Should I do this? Should I do that? The company is trying to make me do this. I don't know if this is the right contract for me. How do I negotiate these terms? So unraveling that matrix is something that you may not necessarily get to do on the other side because you don't want to, quote unquote, give away trade secrets because you have to work in the best interest of the company. But now being an entrepreneur and a business owner, I can say, well, listen, I'm working in the best interest of you. And so we're going to figure out what's best for you and work toward that goal. And it's not for the good of said company, it's for the good of you, the publisher or the author in some cases.
Shanta, it might be too early to ask you this question, but if it isn't, please let me know. At this point, who's your ideal client?
Oh, my ideal client is for the publishing side. So my business has kind of two tiers. I work with small and mid-sized publishers who are looking to scale and reorganize their business so that they can be marketable and profitable. So that would be, let's say, an independent publisher that is just starting out and has, like I said, the content, they have the authors, they have the books, but they need to know, should they be direct selling? Should they look for a distribution partner? Does their publishing program align with the seasons? How should they put their authors up for award nomination, things like that, the business of publishing. And so that is one of my ideal clients on the publishing side. And for the author coaching that I am doing, I'm looking for authors who are trying to, again, learn the business of publishing before the manuscript. So by that, I mean, what do you know about the publishing industry? Not just writing the book and trying to get the book to an agent or an editor so that it get published. What does it take to put together a good book proposal? What do you need to learn to put into a book proposal? Do you have a marketing strategy? Do you have a sales strategy? And from someone who was not an editor, but has read thousands of manuscripts over my career, because once a manuscript gets to the sales team, it's our job to dissect it and tell you where this book is going to go and how well it's going to do. So we would talk to authors sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, and say, you need to revamp this. So this is great. This will do well in a European market. This will do well in a Latin American market. So talking to authors, they say, this is what I need, because an editor is going to give me all the editorial advice that I need, which is, of course, a crucial step. But I want to know how my book is going to do in the market. Is there any content that I need to develop or restructure so that this is going to be appealing to a potential agent? And I can tell them how to do that, because, again, getting that marketable and that scalable, that sellable piece together before it goes to another set of hands is very important. It's going to cut down on a lot of kind of like pain, I guess you could call it, because sometimes
wasted time.
Exactly. So that's valuable advice that I said, yes, I know how to do this. I can pass this on, and I can also hopefully cut down on that pass back and forth time. Nothing is 100%, but I know that a lot of authors have said to me, if I just knew how to get this ready so that I can get to an agent and say, listen, I'm 75% of the way there. Here is my social media following. Here's how I see myself packaged and marketable. And they can, you know, get all this together and say, okay, this is my final package. Now let's move to the editorial stage. But that kind of information is so crucial and important to have to give yourself a leg up in a world where there's so many people trying to do self-publishing, hybrid publishing, all different models, and compete for attention.
So Shanta, one of the things I've noticed in what you've described in your career journey, and I suspect is also happening now that you're in your own business, is these opportunities come up. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes there's something that you are pursuing proactively. A lot of times you're reacting to some input that may result in a pivot or a new step. How do you ascertain what to say yes to and what to say no to?
Well, at this point, I'm kind of saying yes to a lot of things because I'm trying to see where I would fit in different spaces, meaning, you know, I'm talking to a publisher who has been independent for maybe 3 or 4 years and trying to move to the next step, or an author who has never written anything before, who's just trying to get their head around the business. So right now, I think in these early stages, I'm just trying to do that and just, you know, trying to focus on where I fit, knowing that there will be spots where I may have to say no to something because they're looking for something that's more so out of the realm of what I do. And I'm fine with that because, of course, that'll be another connection or reference that I can use later on. But I think in these beginning stages, and not just thinking about myself and publishing, but other entrepreneurs or consultants, there are going to be things that you may have to say no to because you have to think about your bandwidth, your level of experience. You want to give that person the best possible experience for their money. So you don't want to say that you can do something that you can't possibly do, but I know what I can do. So at this point, I'm saying yes to a lot of opportunities and I haven't been able, fortunately, I haven't said no to anything, but just thinking about opportunities that may come my way. I also keep in mind how I can maybe outsource to another person within this community and say, listen, this is not maybe the best opportunity for me, but this is something that you would be perfect at. Do you want to connect with this person? And again, that's another person that I can invite into my community when need be.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm. Shanta, what role have trusted peers or thinking partners played in your career?
A lot. I think, well, now that I've been independent, it's a really different bag of thinking partners because, you know, you don't have the, you know, when you're in office, you can go down to the office next door and say, hey, Kathy, what do you think about this? Or, you know, see somebody at the proverbial water cooler. So now my community and peers circle's gotten a little bit smaller. So I do have a couple of colleagues that are still, of course, in the industry. They know what I've been doing and I've been planning this for a long time. So I can bounce ideas off of them. Sometimes they're in circles where I'm not anymore because I'm not inside. And so, you know, they can also tell me about things that I need to maybe know about. But it's important because as you start out in the beginning, a lot of it is in your head. Like I'm in my office here in my house and I'm just thinking about ideas, having meetings with myself and trying to figure things out. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't have the soundboard and the feedback loop that I used to have, but I have to figure out, okay, at the end of the day, you have to think about sometimes you know what you know, and you can kind of get in your head and kind of remunerate and think, okay, this is not right. That's not right. But what I've noticed so far is that the first instinct is usually the right one. And so what I will do to kind of ground myself is that I like to write things out. I pen and paper, print things type. I like to write things out. So I'll write out a scenario and I'll put that in a form of like a yes or no kind of dialogue. And then what I feel like I'm comfortable going to someone who is like a real trusted partner. And I'll say, listen, what do you think about this idea? These are the pros and these are the cons. And I'll just go through my list and say, if I was in corporate, I would be doing this, but I'm not in corporate anymore. So I want to do this. I think this would be best for the client and for myself. How do you think this sounds? And they've been really good sounding boards, but I like to keep that circle small because sometimes too many hands in the pot is not good. And that can just kind of confuse you and give you.
I was going to say, it could be confusing and overwhelming.
Yes. It can be confusing and overwhelming. So yeah, I've learned that usually my first instinct is the right one. But when I do need to talk it out, I do have a small close of friends and colleagues that are still in the business. And the important thing is that, the key thing is that they know me. So they've known me for 10, 15 years. And so they can say, Shanta, this is not on brand for you. No, you don't, maybe not. Think about it this way or think about it that way and kind of bring me back. Or, you know, kind of give me more encouragement, say, this is perfect. This is the kind of thing that I think you should do. Or maybe you should say yes to this and, you know, go forward. But yeah, I like to have that freedom now because again, in corporate, you just don't have that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Shanta, I know we touched a little bit on your mission and vision for your mm-hmm. business, but if you were to kind of sum up your vision, how would you articulate it?
Well, that's a good question because I recently started to work with a brand specialist. And this person is, her job is to figure out your strategy and your brand for your business. And I like working with her because she knew nothing about publishing. She'd only worked with wellness brands, retailers. And so she was like, explain to me, what is this? What is your mission and your vision? And after we went through a lot of kind of like therapeutic sessions, I said, I don't want to gatekeep. I said, so what I get from publishers and authors is, why is it so difficult? Why can't someone tell me how to do this? I said, I'm not going to gatekeep. all the quote unquote industry secrets about how to do things. And you only get to figure this out once you're in it. And then when you're in it, it's too late. I'm here to kind of unravel this matrix for you. So I can tell you from someone who has been inside for many, many years, this is what your contract should look like. This is what decision you should do, because this is what's going to happen once you get inside. And this insider kind of like vision and purview hasn't really been, as far as I have seen, hasn't really been exposed. So I think that's what I like to do, because I can see on the potential client's face or the client's face, yes, this is the information that I need. I'm glad someone told me what this means, because I didn't know. And so I think that's what I like to kind of see is my vision and my mission is to help unravel the matrix, stop the gatekeeping so that it benefits you, the client. And so all of that is kind of like the framework for my business. And Ishika Global wants to do that for authors and for publishers. And I get a really good sense of helping and being by doing that, because it makes me realize that all the things that I've done and experience that I've had inside really do benefit if you just give it away in some ways and put it in a way that makes it palatable for the end user who really, really needs it. And it's only going to help them grow and help you grow as well.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. Shanta, if someone wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed today, access any resources you may have or get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, sure. My website is up, ishikaglobal.com. And there you'll find everything about me, about my career, but more importantly, how I can work with you as a publisher, small independent publisher, or as an author, coaching one-on-one, as well as my LinkedIn profile. Everything about me is there on my LinkedIn profile, and my website is linked to my LinkedIn. So everything you need to know about me is there, and I'm happy to talk and reach out to anyone who's interested.
Thank you. So Shanta, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share just a few snippets of your great insights into everything that you've done in your career and where your business is now. My guest today has been the owner and CEO of Ishika Global, Shanta Ishika. Thank you, Shanta, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the SMASH framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.